It's Monday, February 25th. This is Season 3, Episode 27 of the 4-Star Spurs Podcast. I'm your host, Tommy. This week with me are Rick.
Hello.
Anthony.
How's it going?
Kevin.
What's up, guys?
And Nate.
Hey.
Okay, so hopefully everybody's staying warm. It's not polar vortex weather, but still cold.
And still cold back here.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly.
Yeah.
Better than last
time.
Well,
yeah. Actually, Anthony's the only one wearing a sweater. Actually, yeah.
I'm wearing a sweater.
Kevin and Anthony are wearing sweaters. Rick's wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the right air.
Me and Tommy are in short sleeves.
Yeah, because we're men. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't. I left mid-time last time it was cold, but I think I'll be able to stick this one out.
So, anybody who lives in America might know about this just because we're Tottenham Hotspur fans. We have an interesting question from our good friend Dan Walsh. Kevin, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, he actually says,
He said shit.
No. Oh, he cool. said, Pittsburgh Hot Spurs. It's not a question, but what the fuck? Tommy wrote up a little thing I'm going to read. I have a question about it after I'm done reading
sure.
it. So Pittsburgh Hot Spurs began in Sewickley, Pennsylvania. That's a hell of a name.
Do not miss the town names there.
In 1988, as the first club in Pittsburgh to launch youth teams, they were one of the founding members of the Pennsylvania West Classic League. Holy shit. What other teams are in that? Through the early 2000s, the club restructured to form a true club culture and become a consistent program at all at all age levels in the Pittsburgh area. Have they always been called Pittsburgh Hotspurs?
That's what it sounds like.
Because I'm surprised I've never heard of it before today. When
well, they were like a youth team until today, and I guess now they're in one of like the semi-pro, like lower
the,
leagues.
NPSL, which is the fourth tier.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's also, I think, Detroit. Is also
I think they're yeah either fourth or third,
and they have like supposedly
oh they're
fantastic
weird Northern Guard thing. Yeah, yeah, I don't want to talk. They're fucking weird. I'm sorry if I've offended anybody, but Pittsburgh Hotspurs. This really made I usually laugh these things off. This bothered me for some reason. I mean, I'm kind of half joking, but like there's like a lot of – I wouldn't say a lot, but there are several instances of American teams adopting names from Europe that make no sense, like Real Salt Lake.
Which is the one that always grates me.
Yeah, exactly. It bothers me for them because what is it? It's Royal Salt Lake. Salt Lake City has nothing to be royal about, and they are Mormons. And I don't know if they even believe in kings or whatever. If they do, it's not – not the one from Spain, and there's really not even that big. Well, there might be, but like, at least the Utah is generally thought of as a very white place. So taking a Spanish name for a team makes no sense. Then you've got Inter Miami that's forming again.
No, International Club de Football Miami.
Yeah, again. Point still stands there, and it's like the same thing. Not only are they taking Hotspur, they're calling it Hotspurs, not knowing where it comes from. Really, yeah. Do they?
Right.
So it's actually surprising that this team's been around since 1988. But even then, that means somebody saw that name, thought, ooh, I'm going to take this European team name and name it after our club. And even though it's the last name of somebody, it's Sir Henry Hotspur. It's not Sir Henry Hotspurs. There's not multiple Hotspurs. You can't have multiple last name people there. It just doesn't make sense in my head. So, Anthony.
What's their logo? Is it like a...
It's a stylized shield with a P and an H.
So, no chicken yeah, on ball.
So I just don't understand. I mean, American sports has this history of using animals, and you'll see the same animals used over and over and over again. Your Bobcats, your Wolverines, your all that type of shit. Comes
Bobcats,
up in college sports
Bobcats,
and
lots of cats.
Local high school teams and stuff like that. Like you see that over and over again. But is a Hotspur even really an animal that's in the United States? I mean,
Hotspur isn't an animal.
It's,
yeah.
It's a nickname for
a knight.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the Shakespeare something,
right? And like the War of the Roses connection.
So that's what I don't get about this. Like you're just why'd you take the name? I just don't understand where it came from.
You've got to imagine it must have been some kind of Spurs fan originally created this name. It must have been.
But yeah, why is that Spurs fan calling them Hot Spurs instead
because
of Hot Spurs?
Because they're American, they don't know anything.
You're fucking
better.
Right. Yeah.
And it was 1988 when like all they had were like scraps of newspapers.
It was like, well, it was the right time to name a club after Tottenham because that's when they were really good.
People get confused, you know, because we are the Spurs.
Right. Okay. But yeah. It's, okay, I could see it being confusing. If you haven't learned, but seriously, now they're actually like a full-fledged, like semi-pro, like fourth-tier team. I know that sounds silly for the United States, but like we could draw them in the Open Cup.
That'd
like,
be awesome.
That could happen. We could have Pittsburgh Hotspurs come play the Fire, or go over to Pittsburgh and.
Would you go?
That'd be a hell of an.
I don't know if I'd go.
You did go to college out there, though, right?
Yeah, I did. I went
to college. If the Cubs were playing the Pirates that weekend, that'd be nice.
Well, we should start supporting them, actually.
No.
I would never support any team out of Pittsburgh, ever.
Wow.
They all suck.
Wow.
Penguins are pretty good. Pretty harsh. I hate Sidney Crosby, though.
Yeah, all of them Nobody wants to root for a Pittsburgh team.
Dude, the Pittsburgh people do.
Yeah.
Bashing the entire city of Pittsburgh, man. We could have listeners in there. Kind of destroying that demographic.
Oh, they'll get over it.
Well, after buttering you guys up with something on the lighter side of things, let's dig into Burnley. So I think it might be fair to say I might have to place a ban on my friend doing trash talk. For saying Trippier had speed. He must have lost it along the way.
Oof.
But this loss was a little rough. For a variety of reasons, but I don't know. What do you guys have to say?
Well, I actually don't think we played that badly. You know, the Twitterverse and the Facebookverse, they all, you know, everybody goes nuts when you lose a game. And say, oh, the players played crap and the manager was crap and everything was crap. You know, but I actually think, you know, if you look at the statistics of a game, we actually played pretty well. We had all the possession.
69%.
Yeah, nice. it was, you know, we had all the shots and everything else, and we just got bullied at the back.
We didn't really have all the shots. They had 10 shots, 4 of them on target. We had 17 shots, which was a ton.
Fuck.
6 on target. So they did pretty good considering that their possession was only 31%.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They bullied us at the back, and they pressured us all over the pitch. So it was more them playing really, really well than us playing really, really badly.
My problem with this game, and I think we talked about it at the bar, those of us that were here for the match in the early morning, is it didn't feel like they needed to bring Harry on to start this game. Something changed about the dynamic of the squad that was playing reasonably well and finding a way to win. Where I think we kind of lost something with Harry coming on, having to get back up to pace, where if we had brought him in towards the second half to kind of ease his way back into the squad, I think it would have been better for us, and maybe we would have gotten more out of the squad in the first half.
I disagree completely.
Me too.
I thought Harry was our best offensive player, and you don't sit Harry Kane because he may or may not play well, and then he goes on and he does play well. He is basically responsible for just about all of our offensive chances. He had that great run early where he hit it a bit wide. He had a really long shot that bothered Heaton. And, of course, he had the goal, which he kind of made from a throw-in just by running past their whole team. So, like, I didn't see it that way. Oh, anything, I don't think we should look at that performance that he put in and how he played and think, wow, it's his fault.
Yeah.
I think you got to look at the players around them and not being able to adjust. This is Harry fucking Kane. He's our best player. So if he comes back in, you guys got to be ready to play the game. I think I agree a lot with what Rick said. I think Burnley played just about as good of a game as they can play. They did everything they do great. And it's something they've done very badly so far this year until recently. They're unbeaten in 8, I think.
They haven't lost, and they've only lost one game in 2019, but it was like a League Cup or.
Right. They're in like the best form of their they've had all season, and they do what they did best. They block shots in the box, they bullied our defense at the back, and they got the result off of really two. They had more than two good chances, but they made do with the ones they got too, and that was enough for them. We only beat them 1-0 at our place. This is a team we've had trouble breaking down, and they got us, and full credit to them. I agree with Rick. We didn't play terribly. There were other games where we played worse and won this season.
We had two questions on Twitter regarding the match. Kevin, you want to dive into the first one?
Yeah, we've kind of been talking about it a little bit, but I guess we can like narrow it exactly down to the Connor Hickley's question was, why is it so difficult to generate chances against Burnley, especially compared to the better teams we have played? We can go ahead and do that one and then get into the second one, I guess. Sure.
Well, it's basically because they play nine at the back.
Right. Well, shit, a lot of that eight game...
this time, because they had those two fucking forwards that drove us crazy, but still.
Yeah, they basically play a very, very defensive way, and then they'll hit you on the break when they do get the ball. So it's extremely difficult to break them down, especially when you don't go wide and get crosses in. When we brought Llorente on, you would have thought, oh, that's the one thing we need to be doing, is get crosses in, and we didn't do it.
Actually, here's my question, because Nate brought it up, I think, actually, at the bar on Saturday. Where is it? So, was it Llorente went on for Winks in the 60-some minute? You said it kind of changed the game from what I remember.
I think...
because it opened up the midfield.
I was actually talking to Andrew about this just before we walked in here. We talk a lot about criticizing Poch for making subs too late. I think this time he almost made it too early, because we were down a goal at that point, but there's still 25 minutes left in the game. And we bring Llorente on and take Winks off, and at that point we lost the midfield. And we have Sissoko there, who's great at breaking things up and getting the ball quickly forward and running with it, but he's not there. He's not the metronome that Winks is, and we don't have somebody like that now that we don't have Dembele anymore. And so when we lost that, we kind of lost the midfield, and we got the goal on a nice play of the throw-in, but it wasn't a build-up play. It was a quick attack, and Kane made a goal, caught him off guard. And then you're going for 1-1, and at that point, I don't think we had that many other good chances in that time, not that I can remember.
No, not often, no.
And they seemed to get back into it, and then even after they scored, we didn't really do anything. Like, no. We couldn't get the ball and, like, set up an offense. And I think we went too attacking too quickly. And of course, this is going to sound ridiculous because you criticize Poch, makes him too late, criticize him when it makes him too early. But I think that did have an effect on the game. And it's actually the second straight game, I think, where we made a substitution and it negatively affected the game. Because I think the same thing happened when we changed the midfield up in Leicester and brought Toby and went three at the back. I think Leicester got way more in control of the game once that happened. And I think we saw it again. I understand why we did three at the back to deal with Burnley, but even if you're going to go three at the back against Burnley, why are you playing fourth instead of Sanchez when they're going against these two giant fucking northern trolls that they have up front?
I want to chime in with that. So Alistair Gold, you know, great asset because he just provides factual information.
He's probably one of my favorite followers.
He provided information regarding Dyer, Trippier, and Sanchez. He says that Dyer, he just recently returned from a virus, was not available due to the illness because of that. Trippier and Sanchez, they did not travel to Burnley with the busy schedule of games against Chelsea, Arsenal, and Borussia Dortmund. So we're or we'll talk about this in a future question a little bit later, but more or less, Pochettino is just juggling the squad right now.
Yeah, and it was unfortunate. And yeah, so you're going to have those questions when we lose, obviously.
Yeah, and I think it was a rotation squad, and we kind of anticipated that this – You don't want to give up anything for those three upcoming matches, so this is the one that you kind of have to give up. And maybe they were trying to save Winks for some of those other games.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, as much as I thought the same thing. When Winks comes off, like, there's no midfield left. I mean, Sissoko's great at moving the ball forward, but he's great at getting back and making that one good tackle, but he's not going to hold together the play for
everybody.
Eriksen's
too weak back there. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, so I think you're right, it was the wrong move, but that's what I was thinking. It has to be, maybe we're saving Winks because we know we need him at this point, that we don't have a Wink substitute at this point.
No. Every time Eriksen goes deep, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Every single time. Because every time before that, we've always had Dembele to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Eriksen is always more further forward. But whenever Dembele wasn't there and they put Eriksen back, it never works. I don't know why he thought it would work this time. But it wasn't the biggest subject of this game, was it, really? There was something that happened right at the end that we should maybe discuss.
I mean, yeah, that's the biggest thing I think happened. And this is weird because we lost... And even though I think I think a lot of people actually were like, yeah, Burnley just outplayed us. So they didn't see as much like anger after the game, except about Mike Dean and Pochettino clashing. And that was really, really interesting because Pochettino, I mean, a lot of coaches will go after a referee in the Premier League. We've seen Klopp do it. We've seen Wenger do it. We've seen Mourinho do it. Poch doesn't really do it ever. And even when he, and even like after a game, when like the press interviews him and talk about like missed calls, he'll say, "Oh, it's just part of football." Like we know his comments on VARs. He doesn't want it because he just thinks, even if it would help them, because he just thinks it ruins the game, and he's okay with refs making mistakes. So to see him not only like go at Dean, but do it, and then Jesus Perez doing it too.
Well, it's because Mike Dean said something.
Absolutely.
He kind of gets in his face a little bit at the beginning, and then he goes to walk away, and then Mike Dean says something, and that's when he like gets that look in his eye. Dude, I thought he was going to murder Mike Dean. Well, I would have been scared shitless.
See, that's not the point. The point is that Poch went after him because of some calls in the game. There was a lot of calls in that game where Mike Dean gave us a yellow when he shouldn't have done, or he gave the corner for the goal.
There was Bardsley tackle.
There was a lot of little things that he just didn't give us. So Poch was justifiably upset, and that's why he confronted him. But then whatever Mike Dean said to him made Jesus Perez go nuts.
And he's like the nicest little dude there.
Yeah.
And then Poch was goading him to say it again when he knew the camera was there.
Well, that's the thing. Well, actually, a few things. Pochettino was saying, like, oh, camera's here, now watch you say it again. So, but the weird thing, though, is Pochettino kind of sugarcoated, but he kind of evaded it, kind of took the high road when it came to the post-match interview. So the only thing that I think could have happened was right after the first Burnley goal. It was Hendrick. It got called in the corner, but
it went off Hendrick.
Yeah, 100%.
So after that goal, while it was terrible marking in my opinion, but regardless of that, Pochettino was giving that fourth official an earful. So, but if anybody didn't follow the news today, I just want to say that Pochettino was charged by the FA. Mauricio Pochettino did say he did cross the line. He said that he would not contest any disciplinary actions against him. And a direct quote from him is, "I will accept everything that can happen from the Football Association, but I hope they won't go any further." And the statement from the FA said, "He's been charged with two breaches of the FA Rule E3 following the game against Burnley on Saturday. And it's alleged that he used language or behavior." But I think the other thing, though, is like while he was running his mouth, he wasn't being aggressive. Because you can see from the pictures, he had his hands behind his back.
He got real
close. So he wasn't like pointing. Yeah. He wasn't like... But Kevin,
I mean, I would say it's even more intimidating how close his face got.
And you just knew that he was completely under control, but fuming at the same time. But you think him admitting, like, immediately in the press conference after the game that he, like, crossed the line, you think that was kind of a mistake on his part? That just gives the FA, basically, they have to charge him. Like immediately,
I think that's class. I
don't disagree there.
I think like to not try and be that asshole who says, "Oh, like I was justified." Like not be Mourinho out there who's always trying to defend the action after. Like say, you know what? Like I lost my cool a little bit, and I accept that there might be some action against me.
I mean, he could miss Arsenal.
I know this. It could be very bad for us, but I think it's. I respect the fact that he was willing to stand up for what he speaks, and I sure would love to know what Mike Dean said to him.
I would say he's probably going to miss Arsenal, because if he's not going to appeal anything that they do...
Well, it did say that he has until the 28th to appeal.
I mean, they might fine him, though. Yeah. Like, so this is the first time he's really shocked if they gave him one maximum. Maybe it's Arsenal.
If that one comes on Thursday...
I mean, it would suck, but I hope we would still be able to win.
But again, the bigger story is, what did Mike Dean say to him?
Yeah, for sure.
Because
he got taken off our game, too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It would be very interesting if he ever refs us again this season.
I don't think they'll let him.
That's the thing. A referee cannot do that. He cannot do that.
And just as a side note, Nate said he's not going to be refereeing the next game. He was actually slated to be the fourth official against Chelsea. So just because of what happened, the FA actually did their due diligence, removed him. He's actually going to be...
But they would only do that if he actually did something deliberate.
Right.
If they know something happened.
Something happened. And there's a clip, I think, from Soccer AM that didn't have someone commentating over the action. And you can kind of hear more, not just him say it to the camera. Jesus goes up to him and says, like, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say? And I think it's Tony Jimenez. I don't know if it's him or someone else there, but there's someone else that says, you'll never work again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's definitely emotion catching up, and that's why I actually agree with Anthony on Poch's reaction. I think you get hot, you cool off for 15 minutes, you realize this is not really worth it, and you move on with your life. I think it's like, that's all that happened when he was in the post-match. But, like, it'll be if we get Mike Dean or not again, I think it'll be interesting.
So before I was interrupted,
not this season.
I'm looking at you again. The irony of that. Anyways, what the fuck is his name? Mike Dean. He's actually going to be fourth official against Manchester City and West Ham. But to replace him will be Andre Mariner. We kind of had a little bit of a chalky pass against him as well. But
man, how many refs do you like? Let's be honest.
Actually, I've said this in the past, though. We are, aside from Pierluigi Collina, aside from him, the best refs are the ones I don't know the name of, for the most part.
Yeah, Sarah pointed that out, I think, last time she was on the podcast. If you know a ref's name, there's already a problem, probably.
It's like a defender. If they have a good game, you don't hear about them that much.
Yeah.
Unless you're Vertonghen.
Cool. Anybody have any final thoughts before we go MVP, LVP?
I hope Burnley stay up.
No, I hope they crash and Burnley get relegated.
we need more teams in the North.
There. For the Northern Alliance, right?
And the three of us, at least, have a little bit of a... I soft spot for him because we saw him...
Oh, yeah, because we saw him win the championship.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Well, aside from that, I mean... So my friend, you know, he did trash talk last week, and... I told him, like, I don't know if you can ever do this again, but he kind of rubbed it in my face. But he was more or less diplomatic about it because he didn't actually watch the game live because he had some shit to do. I forget. But regardless of that, I still want Burnley to do well, except against us. Mm-hmm. But, okay, first thing. Yeah. Oh, well.
I hate these anti-football teams. I really do.
I can deal with just one.
Spoke of West Brom. Fuck them.
They're already down. No, West Brom plays attacking now. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Under Darren Moore.
Been looking pretty good.
Love Darren Moore. I hope they come up and just keep playing that way and not go back to Poulos ball.
If they play that way, they'll go down again.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'll be fun.
Anyway.
Okay, so let's do MVP, LVP. Let's actually do rapid fire because we're going to try to have a longer second half. So, yeah. Nate, what do you want? What do you got for both?
Oh, LVP, I think Aurier for that horrible clearance at the end that really cost us the goal, to be honest. I think there are several people in the back line didn't play well, Foyth among them. But that cost us the game. There was one mistake, and it cost us the game. MVP, I'm going to say Harry Kane, honestly. I thought he came back, really had a couple of really good chances, and took his chance that he scored really, really well. And, if that long shot went in, that was fucking nutso, by the way. Yeah. That one knuckled. It was a great save by Heaton. So yeah, it was Harry Kane coming back and not looking rusty, at least to me. And so that's a good sign for the future.
Okay, Kevin?
I agree, Harry, as MVP. And I don't know. I agree with Rick. I thought overall we played pretty well. I guess I'd have to go Serge because that clearance was god awful, and I can't really name anybody else that was just like stood out bad.
Sure, Anthony.
I'm gonna go for MVP Danny Rose. I'm not just a throw-in. I thought he played very well. I do think Carey was played well, but there was something that just didn't seem like it was working right with the squad in general. Maybe that was the rest of the squad's reaction to having him back. Maybe you're right, and that wasn't Harry's fault, and Harry played fine. But I can't give it to Harry. I'll give it to Rose. I'm going to go Foyth for LVP. I just think he looked off. He didn't seem to be the right – and maybe it's not his fault either, but I don't think he was the right man for this match. I think Sanchez would have been the right guy if he was available. I was glad when he came off because I didn't think we needed all that. I didn't think we needed the three at the back, and I think he was the right guy to take off.
Fair enough. Rick?
LVP was Aurier. Can't do that. clear your lines. You clear the
Kung
ball.
Fu kick it right in the middle of the field.
You clear the ball. In that situation, you always clear the ball down the line. Never go cross. And for MVP, Danny Rose. The quick thinking on the throwing basically gave Harry the goal. It was awesome.
It was very smart.
And I actually argued with someone. It's unbelievable. But I would have to argue with someone who claimed that Harry Kane should have been offside from the throwing.
I've had that argument.
Someone said at the bar, didn't they?
No, a few years ago, somebody said it at the bar, and I had a big argument with them. And it's somebody who you would expect to know that rule. I'm not gonna call him out on the
Rick.
Podcast, but
I knew it. That's
why
knew.
He knows the answer now.
No, it wasn't. Me.
I meant other Rick. I meant taller.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Oh,
I mean,
sorry for slating you.
I mean, it's stupid that you have to argue basic rules with people, and it was the fact that I told him what the rule was, and he was still arguing.
He still just said, "No, that's not right."
No, it's not right.
It's like debating politics on social media. It's like you could be right, but you're still wrong.
I remember I actually linked the official document that shows the fucking rule. And he was like, "Oh, okay."
there was some. I'm not going to call the person out because he's a listener, but there was somebody at the bar that said, "Oh no, that's offside." But then once we said, "No, it's a throw-in," he knew the rule. He just had a brain. No, it wasn't Lucas. But close.
We're just calling out all the wrong
brother.
But walking away. It's one of those brain farts that people have. I understand, but when you're sitting there and arguing like Rick's guy is like. Just won't believe the point. That's silly.
Yeah, that's...
Or he's just being a troll.
He's either being a troll or he's stupid beyond belief.
I think that guy was dead serious. I read that thread. Yeah, I think he was not trolling. He really thought he was dead serious.
And then he tried to make it out like it was a joke at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, you fucker, shut up.
Oh my God, stop attacking our own.
So, I don't know, well...
He wasn't our own. Though.
No, he wasn't.
He was like, I think he was a... Liverpool fan or something.
Yeah, it was something. It was, I don't know what.
So it was Matt or Kyle?
No, it was just some random person.
So, well, I'll state my MVP, LVP in about 20 seconds. The way I refer to a throw-in is more or less it's an indirect free kick, so to speak, because you can't score from a throw-in. Somebody needs to touch it. But like how Rick, Nate, Kevin, and Anthony is saying, the offside rule... It's null and void. It's just thrown out the window. So, yeah. Okay, so MVP, I'm going to say Toby. What?
Nothing.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm going to say for MVP Toby, so that's going to be a deadlock for Kane and Rose, even though I will agree both did pretty well considering the circumstances. LVP, I actually voted Eriksen. I didn't think he did too great.
No. No, he didn't. He's had a couple of those. But again, I think Rick made a really good point, right?
Yeah. To be fair, I think it was you or somebody mentioned this. He plays a lot better when Ollie is there because they kind of both shoulder the load, so to speak.
I think it opens up the game for him and his vision when Dele's able to do his runs. Hopefully he's back soon.
Do we have time for... We haven't talked about Sun at all.
He was invisible.
Yeah, no, that's what I wanted to point that out. After being so hot, he's just nothing.
See, this goes back to Anthony's point where maybe... The presence of Kane suppressed Son completely.
Yeah, that's Dylan was. We forgot about Dylan asked a question like 3 days ago or after the match, whatever day that was, Saturday.
Yes,
like right after the match, he asked us about Son. I just remembered when we were talking about it right now. But yeah, it's very odd that he just can go from it. I mean, I guess maybe it's just bound to happen, right? He can't have a great game every game, and it was like 8 in a row or something.
You know, I disagree that Son having anything to do with Harry Kane. He had an off game. I think it had more to do with the team that we were playing. We said on last week's podcast that like a congested defensive team plays away from Son's strengths unless he happens to get a good shot outside the box or just outside the zone a little bit. And he didn't have those opportunities here. He didn't have the opportunities for breakaways that he does very well. It took his pace out of it a little bit, but I don't think that was necessarily had anything to do with Harry Kane. They certainly can work together. I think this was just a case of the wrong game for Son.
Yeah, I think. That's what I'm hoping. You have to remember with Sun, he's been very streaky in the past, and we've kind of talked about him being like kicking it up a gear. But I think we kind of did this also at the same time around last year, where he had a run of very, very good form, and then he didn't really score the rest of the season. And kind of fell off. So I just hope that doesn't happen again and he can come back to where he was.
Well, I think AC is right. He needs spacing to run in behind him. There was no space.
So yeah, they really played us well. Hopefully other people don't use this blueprint or are able to pull it off.
No, the teams that are coming up are going to play us. Burnley didn't play us.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so to wrap up the first half, we do have two independent Twitter questions. I kind of want to tie them in together since they're somewhat interrelated. They're both one of them's from Kyle and our other friend of the podcast, Luke. Kevin, you want to go ahead with them?
Yeah, they're both, like you said, very much intertwined with each other. Kyle asked, would you say at this moment we're closer to winning the Champions League or the Premier League? And Luke asked, if the stars align and we move forward in Champions League, at what point do we start to prioritize the lineup for those games over Premier League fixtures?
We never do.
Yeah, well, I don't think, at least for the next round, it's going to matter too much because we're going to have games, I think, against like Brighton and Huddersfield in between those. So they're not going to be very difficult. I think the one that will be is like, I think we've got City on the 20th, which will be after the second leg of the quarterfinal if we get there. But we're playing our best team for that, and we'll probably play our best team in the second leg, and they're just going to have to deal with it. I think we'll be okay. We only being in two competitions rather than three, and not being in three for as long as we've been in the past and previous seasons, and that experience at the same time we're playing in so many competitions, I think we'll be okay.
Okay, so I kind of want to piggyback off what Nate said regarding the matches. So Wednesday we got Chelsea, Arsenal, Saturday. Next Tuesday, we got Dortmund, and then after that, we got Southampton. Crystal Palace was going to happen on the 16th, but it's getting postponed, which I'll talk about in my segment. Then we got Liverpool, Brighton, Huddersfield, and then, like Nate said, Manchester City. So, but Anthony, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say that there's a lot of money in the Champions League. We talk about the deeper you go into it, that's big dollars to pick up a win, and and it's big pride to pick up a Champions League win. The competition is going to get more fierce, but we always seem to step up to that pressure in the Champions League. I think we're certainly going to prioritize it. Maybe not so much the second leg of Dortmund. We might just try and get a quick goal and then call it a day when we do that. But assuming we make it to the next round, I think we are going to take that pretty seriously. It's going to depend upon what happens these next two games, though. I mean, it's tough to answer that question until we know how Arsenal and Chelsea go. Because if they go wrong, then we got to pay attention to the league.
For me, I'll just kind of summarize this in 30 seconds. It's going to be a case-by-case basis depending on the week. So if we run the table in the next two games, for argument's sake, we got Dortmund. Like how Anthony says, if we get one away goal, I think we're in good hands for the time being. Then come up with the next games. If we can gel that correctly, and depending on how, as of right now on the table, Arsenal, Man U, and Chelsea, if they're going to potentially contend for third place, potentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're 7 points ahead of Arsenal right now. I'm not saying we're going to stay at third, but position-wise, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on the week and based on who you're playing against. Kevin?
To answer Luke's question about prioritizing the lineups, I think we've pretty much always kind of prioritized Champions League. We don't really put out weak sides unless, you know, we know we're done for it. Like, when's the last time we put out a truly weak side?
If I come.
Palace.
Dortmund two years ago, right?
In Champions League, never.
We already made it through, and we're clinched top.
That's it.
Apoel.
So I feel like we pretty much always prioritize Champions League. That's why our players play for it. You know, if we didn't have Champions League,
Premier competition,
we probably would not have some of the players that we have. And then Kyle Newman's question. Nobody's really touched on that. If we're closer to winning Champions League or the Premier League?
I think we're closer to winning the Champions League.
I agree.
Because it's tournament football, soccer, whatever. And it's kind of like, even though the teams are harder, I think we've shown, especially what we did with Madrid last year, and even though it was in the group stages, and even Juventus to an extent, we can really go toe-to-toe with anybody in two games, even at their place. Because, I mean, I don't think anybody won at Juventus except for Madrid. And that's, I mean, that's, and then they won the whole competition. So I think you have to say, I mean, look at Liverpool last year. They were fourth in the league, but they made a run when they got hot. And, I mean, I can't say we're that much – I mean, we drew them at their place last year. I think we're very, very comparable in how good we can be on our day. So, and who's to say we don't draw, like, a Porto or a Roma in the next round and then, I mean, go up against Liverpool or – I mean, Real Madrid right now is in a bit of a kind of weird place too. Bayern Munich's not the Bayern Munich of the past. Like, unless we get Barcelona, I'd like our chances against just about anybody left, to be honest. I think we can be capable of beating everybody, and we show we can do well against Barcelona as well. So, yeah, I think that, and we don't have to go, and then the schedule for the league, going to Anfield, going to City, having these next two games in the next couple days. We basically have to win out, maybe drop one or two total if we want to win the title and hope we get some help. So, it's definitely Champions League.
Cool. Okay, so... Rick has been quiet, so you can abstain, right? Okay. I think he more or less, or his thoughts are probably similar to what
we
have.
Sorry if I ran.
Hopefully. No, that's all right. Okay, so this is a relatively short first half because we have an action-packed second half. So stay tuned for my back page update, and then we're going to preview Chelsea and Arsenal.
So much Tommy.
Hi everyone, I'm Tommy, and this is your back page update. The Daily Mirror is saying alleged Spurs target Adrian Rabiot has fired his agent, aka his mom, due to the collapse of his pending move to Barcelona. Well, it was relatively known that Rabiot's mother was the major sticking point in negotiations. If Spurs are still interested, they might want to revisit this. I would still gladly take him. The Evening Standard is reporting that Spurs are planning two test events in March in preparation for opening the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. As of now, the alleged opener versus Crystal Palace had to be postponed due to Crystal Palace advancing in the FA Cup. It's rumored that the official opener will be against Huddersfield. Well, based off of recent updates, fire testing must have gone well. Looks like the end is nigh. As usual, stay tuned for updates on the podcast. Marca claims that former Spurs player Gareth Bale may be used as a bargaining chip to get Christian Eriksen. While this may seem to be a good deal on paper, there are some things that would make this deal not a reality. First, Marca is a joke. It's essentially a propaganda machine for Real Madrid. This could be seen as realistic as Spurs rarely sell top stars to a club within the league. They usually sell their heavy hitters abroad. This should be obvious. Gareth Bale would be the final stumbling block. He said he likes in Madrid and wants to see out his contract when it ends in 2022. While this transfer fee would be cheap if it was offset with Eriksen, Bale's wages would approximately be double of Harry Kane's at the very least. Do we really want Bale back? Yeah. He's been having a great spell for Real Madrid, but he has been injured at times when the club has enjoyed a second, and also when has a club ever enjoyed a second spell from a previous star player. Lastly, Bale's going to turn 30 soon. This goes against what the club has done in the past. For example, paying big bucks for a player that's close to 30, they are usually reserved for players who are about to approach their prime instead. I'm Tommy, and this is your back page update. All right, thanks to me for the back page update. Hopefully you liked it. For those that did listen, do not take the last one so seriously, because as I said, it's the mouthpiece of Real Madrid, so fuck them. Anyways, moving on to bigger and better things, who saw the League Cup final yesterday?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got most of it.
I only watched the penalties.
So I fell asleep.
I was at a golf show out in the suburbs, so me and two of my buddies were hovered around my cell phone. Because I have unlimited data, so we streamed the penalties at least. So we didn't even know about the whole
Kepa thing.
Until like we were all left and we got on Twitter and shit and saw everything. But fucking wild, man.
there's been a lot that's happened in the last 24 hours on this, right? You had, well, for people that don't know, and if you're a soccer fan, you don't know, or at least a Premier League fan, don't know how this went down. It's kind of nuts. But at the end of the second extra time in the game, Kepa, the keeper of Chelsea, has gone down twice for kind of cramps, and he's had the physios come out and kind of look at him. And at this point,
he's had a history of hamstring injuries.
Too. Not only that, but like your goalie's gone down twice for cramps. It doesn't often happen. So, Sarri's had Caballero warm up. Now, Caballero is very, very good against penalties, right?
42%.
42%. Not only that, but he used to play for City, so he's probably seen all these guys take penalties before.
Tons.
So, if there's a time to make a tackle change for keeper, this is it. And that actually is probably genius if that's what the cause was. And Kepa kind of waves it off over and over and over again and doesn't really let Caballero come on. And Sarri loses his fucking shit. Starts ranting, like really unzips his jacket, almost walks down the tunnel.
Yeah, he was golden.
He was almost walking, and like the call was basically walking out of the stadium, maybe walking out of the job? Question mark. It was a great call. I don't know who made it, but that was a great commentary line. But Kepa stays on. Time blows. They go to penalties. Before that happens, the camera does a close up on Kepa, and he winks at the camera, and then he was terrible, quite frankly, and missed a really bad penalty from Aguero that just about any keeper should save. Should have been right under his arms.
Better effort I was expecting.
And he did so much like bullshit before that too, where he was like waving his arms and pointing in different directions, and then he just jumped over the ball as it went past him. And they looked like an absolute fools. And you're just thinking with all the stuff going on about Chelsea, like, oh my God, there's no way we're beating them.
Isn't this just like a caricature of what's going on at Chelsea right now? You have a coach that can't get any respect from his players. The players don't want to listen to a coach that probably isn't a reasonable coach. I mean, I don't think there's anything other than making the bad decision of going to Chelsea. I don't see what's wrong with him as a coach. That it's just such a shit show there that this just portrayed it in like a cartoon way that was just amusing for the rest of us to watch. I think
I kind of want to point out the whole respect thing, because nobody, or it's clear that he lost the dressing room. Fans don't like him. They said fuck Sarri ball, I think, remember the last match. And I think with this, Kepa knew that it's kind of the whole cliche with sports, they can't fire the players. He's like 20, a young 20, what, 22 or whatever, paid $70 million. If anybody's going, it's not him. So he knew he can get away with murder when it came to that. So
especially when they've just been handed a two-transfer window ban.
Right.
They can't sign anybody. So if they say for instance they fired Kepa and they cancelled his contract, they can't buy someone else.
Yeah. So the only thing they can do is bring somebody back on loan.
There's so much going on with that club. But I think you, Anthony, you made a good point about the microcosm of Chelsea. I think context makes this so much worse than it could have been if it was another club, because you've seen people refuse to substitute before, and it's for whatever reason. A lot of the time it is pride. Messi's done it. These big players at big moments, and you're thinking Kepa wants to be out there for the penalty shootout.
Well, I've never seen a player refuse to be substituted. I've seen the players refuse to come on, you know, say a half time, and they said, oh, I want you to come on, and they refuse to go on.
There have been people I've seen that happen.
I think it was the way that it happened. Because it was like, from what I saw, which I mostly just saw GIFs and shit, it looked like they both were kind of throwing a fit at each other. Like, Kepa was just waving it off. And it's also hard to tell, like, was he just trying to say, like, I'm not injured, and that's why he thought they were trying to take him off? I don't fucking know. But, like, it didn't look... Yeah, right. Like, imagine one of our players, like, Poch getting somebody set up to come off and them just, like, saying no. Like,
he'd be done.
Yeah, he'd never play.
You're playing for the under-23s for the rest of your time.
Yeah, he'd
and
be done.
Kepa's going to play Wednesday. I'm sure, right?
So,
I mean,
well, I don't know whether you know, but this has happened very recently. But Kepa's been fined a week's wages, and he's apologized.
Yeah,
that happened.
He's
today.
Donating it to some Chelsea charity,
the Chelsea Foundation. But again, this harps on the fact that what Anthony said about respect for the manager. if the manager makes a decision like that, the player has to respect it. The player has to go off. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and we all know that if we ever try to fire a boss, like, hey, do this or do that, like, fuck you, I ain't doing that shit, you're getting shit canned.
Yeah,
so,
but, I mean, I think another angle about this is, where's the captain?
Yeah.
Azpilicueta.
Azpilicueta says after the game, oh, I was on the other side of the field. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
That's your captain.
Yeah.
So it's not just – and there was another – like if you – there's another video. After it's ended, Sarri almost has a go at Azpilicueta. Like he's got to be held back by Rudiger. Like for a moment after the game, there's a really long clip of the whole thing. It's about 6 minutes, so not just when they were arguing, but after the whistle blows and the team comes back to Sarri, Sarri's like right in Azpilicueta's face about something. So the whole thing is like a total drama shit show. The problem is Chelsea's so fucking used to this. I fully expect them to beat us on Wednesday, despite everything that's going on. Just because that I've seen this happen in life and in general a thousand times.
Yeah, their chaos doesn't seem to affect them.
No.
Well, and it's...
Not against us.
It's like we always say about them. I mean, if they care, they're going to play. And this is a game they care about. I mean, Hazard, like, he has said multiple things about us in the past. You know...
Even when they were shit in the bed of the bridge. We didn't beat them that season. Like, that crap 10th season, they drew at our place. And then they came back from two down to clinch the title for Leicester in the second game that they'll be able to hold over our heads for a while.
One thing I do want to say is that all the commentators kept saying this mars Chelsea's performance because they played really, really well. Well, no, they didn't.
Comparatively, the last time they played City.
That's the point. Compared to last time, yes, they did. But in relative terms, they didn't play very well at all. They had no shots on target in 120 minutes. None. Zero. Now, if you'd done that to any team at any point, you would have said, oh, they didn't have a good game. But obviously, because they're comparing it to the 6-0 a couple of weeks ago, they're saying they had a good game. But they didn't. It was awful. I mean, I fell asleep watching that game.
It was a shit game.
I mean, it's not because you worked late. Okay, so I kind of want to segue this, or the reason I brought it up is because I want to segue this in the Chelsea match. So, Kevin, you said Shubes has a question from Twitter, right?
Yeah, he wants to know which is worse, the Poch outpost after any loss, or knowing Chelsea will find their toolbox to play us. P.S.
He agrees with me.
Sherwood's season so bad returned the...
Season ticket.
Season ticket to the guy. I was barring it off. Which is worse? I think the Poch out is worse because it's just beyond ridiculous.
It's beyond insane.
Yeah, like there's no reality that I can find that is anywhere that I could even come close to.
See, this is the kind of thing that really annoys me about your average fan because their morale. Their morale and their optimism seems to be always related to the previous game. It's like, oh my God, we're playing Chelsea, we're going to lose because we lost at Burnley. But Burnley's got nothing to do with this. You know, if we'd beaten Burnley 10-0, do you think it would be any different?
No, I think we'd definitely lose to Chelsea if we beat Burnley 10-0.
Exactly, the two games are not related. Every single game is different. When you start losing five or six games in a row, then yes, I agree, your optimism should be bad. But not when you have the odd loss.
Especially a team of our quality.
Yeah. It's...
So, officially, we are now in the Chelsea zone. So, for anybody that doesn't know, we're playing this Wednesday against them at 2 p.m. For anybody that wants to watch it on TV in America, NBC Sports Network, and if you're in the UK, BT Sport 1. Anthony, you want to go ahead and preview this?
Yeah. So... Chelsea currently sits sixth place in the league with 50 points. That's 15 wins, 5 draws, 6 losses. Their most recent game was the loss that we just spoke about to Man City. Prior to that was a win to Malmo, we said, FF?
Yep.
A loss to Man United, a win to Malmo again, and then a loss to Man City.
So most recently, that was the we talked about the penalties. So we've already done that. Upcoming, they play Fulham away on Sunday, so they have a pretty easy match following us. So they can certainly focus on us, which brings up the fear factor that Nate was talking about. Their top goal scorer is Eden Hazard with 12. Pedro is their second leader with 7. Their top assist man is also Hazard with 10. Willian was second with 4. Their top-rated player, of course, is Hazard with 8.01, and Willian is second in that category as well with 7.34. The last 5 times we faced them was the loss in the League Cup to Chelsea, the win in the League Cup prior to that, and then we beat them the 2 prior times to that, and then a loss when we go all the way back to August of 2017. So... how do you guys feel about this?
Actually,
Chelsea are good at home and shit away. That's the way it works. Every time they play away, they lose. Every time they play at home, they win.
Nah.
It's very simple. If you look at their previous results, they lost 6-0 to Man City away. They lost 4-0 to Bournemouth away, but they won their home games. It's weird. They can't win away.
Well, we're not the only ones who are... not feeling great about this. Kyle Mates asked, I know we're the hashtag undrawables, but would we be happy with a draw at Stamford Bridge? A combination of our performance at Burnley and track record away against Chelsea has me sweating it.
Last year was...
See, there it is. There it is right there. He's talking about the Burnley game, which has got nothing to do with anything.
Stop hating on our listeners.
He did say combination of.
Right, but...
I mean, you have to take current form into account.
Yeah, you have to factor everything
in. It's not completely separate. It's literally 4 days before what's happening.
I know, but because
things don't
we
change
lost
that
because we lost to Burnley doesn't mean we're going to lose to Chelsea.
No, it doesn't. But
it depends how you play, and we all kind of agree we didn't play that terribly against Burnley.
Right.
It's going to be against a completely different setup, a completely different set of players. I don't think you can compare the two, to be honest. But I do think how we play against Chelsea does play into effect. Last year was fucking brilliant. Because it was the first time that it happened in any of our lifetime. Well, except for Rick.
I think in addition to that, though, we have to factor in... Yeah.
Except for half the podcast.
Just my lifetime.
I don't know what you get the aim right there.
So Chelsea lost by penalty kicks. You know, at the end, it turned into a shit show. Nate said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if we lost, more or less.
Yeah.
Because this might galvanize a team, light the fire in their ass. Potentially, you know, who knows?
It'll just be up for us because it's us.
Yeah.
I think if it's any other team, they totally quit.
And it's at Stamford Bridge.
And as I said, last year was amazing, but I mean, hopefully it's not a one off, but it might have been. And yeah, we could go in there and beat them, and it would be amazing. And I'd love it. I don't feel it. Like, I feel like sometimes Chelsea can, like, pull out of all the horrid shit that goes on, and even though they all hate each other, it seems, they can pull, like, a genius performance out of that. Because it's Tottenham, and we've seen them do it before against us, even when maybe we probably should have won. So I'd be happy with a draw, to be honest. If we got 4 from the next 2, I'd be a happy man. And I think it would really help us in kind of solidifying top 4 as well, because losing to Burnley was bad for that too. That's kind of now, with if we don't get the most out of these 2 games, if we lose, I think, either one of them, all of a sudden that place in top 4 doesn't seem so... so secure.
What I'm really worried about in this one is not having Dele Alli out there. I mean, Eriksen can't provide the same types of things that Dele Alli can, especially when you look at Jorginho and some of those guys that he's going to be facing. Like, we need that. This is almost like a game for Lamella to come in and just make some nasty fouls early on. But
I'd
he's
love
been
if he started.
But he's been playing so poorly. But maybe this is his chance to come back, because I think he might be the player that we need, since we don't have Dele Alli to kind of play that role and
shithouse
the
game.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I think that might be the way to go in this one.
Yeah, I think Son's going to be hugely important as well. I think just because this is a game that will fit him. He can get space behind the defense.
Yeah, you know they're going to be shit scared of him as well.
And, I mean, he'll really be able to use his skill of, like, taking on a defender one-on-one and getting past them. Because they're not going to play anything like Burnley played, obviously. So he's going to have a lot more room to work. So I think he is going to be crucial to any kind of success. I also agree. If LaMelo plays like LaMelo, you know, like stomping on
Fabregas.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, his hand. That LaMelo. Yeah. If he shows up and can deliver that, I think he'd be fantastic. But then that's – I have no idea where – if you have Son, him, Erickson, yeah. Kane. I'm
the back three again.
Yeah.
Is Trippier and Davies going to start?
Actually, that's kind of what I want to lead into. So – as I mentioned earlier, Dyer, Trippier, and Sanchez. If Dyer's healthy, do you think he plays? Trippier, he's more defensively sound, I would say, right now, even though Ari has more speed. But also, Pochettino does rotate. So, like, I mean, I do believe that I'd like to see more of play. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, generally speaking, we know. But, I mean, who else do you feel that you, A, who you want or who you think is going to feature in this game?
It'd be interesting if he does throw all those three right in the starting lineup, and we do with a midfield three of Sissoko, Dyer, and Winks, because that didn't even register to me until you just started talking to that. Could be something that he throws out there, and then have a back four, and then play with Eriksen, Son, and Kane up top, and have still a decently strong bench with Lamela, Lucas, and Llorente, and you still have Wanyama that can come on. So having all those guys back is good. I think the fullbacks, I hope he doesn't play Davies. I think Trippier will definitely play. I just hope he doesn't play Davies. I just don't think this is the right one. I'd actually almost prefer Davies play against Arsenal, to be honest.
Well, he's got
to
play one of them.
But because he's got to play one. Maybe actually, you know what? Maybe not against Lacazette and Aubameyang. Maybe we do play Davies in this game just because we have to.
He could play three at the back,
or
though,
maybe he throws Vertonghen out there.
Might be the center back.
Is Davies certainly definitely back?
Yeah, he was on the bench.
He was on the bench.
He's in full training with Kane.
We think he's full fit and ready to go. I think Vertonghen could be good in this one as well. But then I don't like the all three center backs having a right foot as their primary foot.
It worked against Dortmund.
I'll say this once and I'll say it again. In terms of defense, I kind of discount that because we've talked – or like, you know, Ledley King, you know, greatest defender that we've seen of recent time. He was, for the most part, paired with Michael Dawson. Who played the left center back? Ledley King. We didn't really see any issues in terms of that partnership, as we could have been at times. But I guess my question now, though, is...
These players are better than both of them.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't disagree.
I just had to say
I'm just saying, if you know what I'm saying...
I know you had to plug Dawson.
Well, he's my guy.
I had to get that in there.
He did call me a top man, so, I mean, you know. But, okay, so... But I guess other than that, though, I mean...
He obviously doesn't know you.
He knew my name.
Tommy is
only
a top,
I told him.
Top man.
And I thank you for that.
That's a good moment, guys.
But, here's my question, though. So, obviously, the midfield needs to be one with this because of Jorginho and Conte. But, and sorry, he plays a more open game compared to Mourinho.
And he doesn't really change his tactics.
Exactly. Ever.
That's a fun point. So, we know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I do not want to dive into predictions just yet, but... I mean, what matchups do you feel that are going to be vital? Or what do you anticipate will happen minus the scoring?
We have to do the one thing that we always do when we play Chelsea is mark Jorginho. You know, we did that with Dele Alli. We're
the ones who cracked the code.
Yeah, we showed everybody the way of beating Chelsea. You mark Jorginho. So we've got to allocate a player, whoever it is, whether it's Wanyama, Winks, or whoever it is, To just man mark Jorginho and not give him any space to pass.
It was Dele Alli last time.
Yeah,
it
sucks we're missing him.
Yeah.
So if we do that, which I imagine we will, I don't know who it will be, but then we should have a very good chance of actually winning the game.
Sounds good.
I agree. He's certainly the key of the match, and we've seen it play out. And we're ultimately going to see a similar type of game as we've seen in the past. It's whether we're back on our form and we know what they're going to do. So it's just a matter of whether we can stop it. I think we know how to. It's whether we can physically accomplish it with the current squad in their current form.
Well, this is the thing. People keep saying... Chelsea are going to be up for this game because it's us. Well, we're going to be up for this game because it's them.
Rah.
we're going to play a lot better than we did against Burnley, and we didn't play that badly against Burnley. So I'm expecting a really good performance.
And I definitely agree with you there, Rick. And it's not because it's just it's against Chelsea or because we lost to Burnley. Historically, under Podge, whenever we play against like the Stoke Cities or the West Broms or anybody that parks the bus, stifles creativity like that, we haven't done well because it's hard to pick that lock. But since Chelsea's playing, it's a better matchup for us, even though they're loaded with talent. Because they are have more open play and more free-flowing, this gives us the opportunity to do that too because it can go back and forth.
Yeah. And I haven't got a manager that's going to notice our problems with that and adjust.
I mean, even if he did notice, he still wouldn't adjust because he doesn't adjust.
The thing is, I still think they have enough to do it. Yeah. I think it's all about who exposes the matchups, as we said. Who wins that duel between Winks and Jorginho? Is Son able to have a better effect on Alonso, or are we have a harder time dealing with Hazard and Higuain? And Higuain, when he was with Juve, I mean, he scored two goals in that two-leg series against us, and he could have had a third on a penalty. So, like, he did really good against us for Juventus. So let's not forget that. Even though he is at Chelsea and people call him fat, we can't talk shit about him. He owned us.
He's not the same player, but he's still good.
I mean, he's already started scoring for him. So I know it was Huddersfield, but I guess it doesn't mean anything then if it's Huddersfield. But
if you're a scorer,
I'm worried about him. I'm worried about him. I think he offers a different dynamic that we didn't see the first couple times we played them. So we got to worry about that. But it's funny.
Whenever I look at Sorry and the way he puts the team together and the way the players don't respect him, it reminds me of Harry Redknapp. It really does. He's like an Italian Harry Redknapp.
I don't think so, actually.
He's very unchangeable. He doesn't do anything. Puts the same team out over and over and over and over again.
He literally makes the exact same substitutes
at the exact same time. It's very red-nappy.
I think that's very harsh on Sarri. I think he's in a very difficult spot. I think he's got more tactical knowledge than Harry Redknapp did.
I think he's a better manager, I do. But I think with the squad he's got, and the choices he makes.
Yes, the stubbornness is definitely
and the
there.
Stubbornness, it's very Redknapp.
But like, I just think about what he did with Napoli. The thing is, Napoli not only had the players believe in him, they gave him time, and they didn't get him on him. But I think it's mostly that whole situation. A lot of people saw it coming. A lot of people, I thought he would do well there, but a lot of people, I remember saying, he's not won anything, he's not had to deal with this, and it was too hard for him. Too many egos in that locker room for him to deal with. So I don't expect him to last the season, even if they do beat us.
Hopefully it lasts till the end of Wednesday.
It's Chelsea, there's no way he...
Well, this is the thing about Chelsea. I think there's too many egos in that locker room for any manager. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Mourinho.
I mean, it was. We saw what happened.
I think Zidane is probably the only guy who could come in.
I think
they would immediately be like, all right, this guy.
And you know what he would do? He would get rid of Harfats. He would get rid of Harfats.
That's the thing. They'd bring in somebody that they would trust more than the players, and there's two people on that list. There's Zidane, and then there's Frank Lampard. Now, I don't think Frank Lampard's anywhere close to being ready for the job, but if they went after him, they'd back him over these players because he's got so much clout with everybody there, the board, the backroom staff,
the fans,
they wouldn't get on. They'd give him a full year before they even did anything with him. And I think it's going to be interesting. You know what this really reminds me of, this whole situation? Reminds me of Sherwood's season with us. Like, think of all the weird lopsided scores they've had. Think about, just remember that interview after the Chelsea game that Sherwood gave about our players, like when we lost 4-0 at their place, and he just said, players are too nice to each other. Like, I can't coach these people. And there was the rumors that he, like, punched Andros Townsend in the locker room. Like, there was all this shit that was flying around. This reminds me of those days.
It's when the manager doesn't have respect.
What happened? What happened with that? It wasn't – and, yes, Sherwood was shit. But it wasn't just Sherwood. The players had a shit attitude, too. And that's why we struggled under Poch at the beginning until –
and then he got rid of them.
The board made a decision to back the back him over the players with their contracts. And half that, and a bunch of those players that we brought in for a ton of money, and a bunch of old guys, including the captains. Like, Kabul was captain.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
Adebayor
was vice captain.
Yeah.
And we let them and froze them out completely, and they were gone in a couple of years. All of them.
Yeah, same with Bentaleb
and,
as well.
And Bentaleb was later, but yeah. It was the same. It was any dissenter, you're fucking gone. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much you cost. Doesn't matter your future. Doesn't matter if we just bought you like Vincent Janssen. If you weren't playing ball, you were done. That's how much we gave. If Chelsea want to turn this around into something consistent, because they still have the talent and maybe the money. Well, who knows, actually, with what if Abramovich is going to continue to invest.
He said that like in the summer. He's not going to invest any more money because he got denied a visa.
Right.
So it's
hold.
Yeah, it's kind of simple economics. Like, if you don't want me here, why should I put more money in type deal? So that's kind of another reason why
the band. So they've got a lot of stuff going on. But I think, honestly, if they want to make something consistent, scrap this fucking mercenary shit and use your youth. That is good.
Really good.
And do the same thing Tottenham did, and you will be able to do it even on a higher level than we did because you'll actually, I think, even with all this shit, they still have more money than we do.
Yeah.
Or they're still willing to spend more of it.
Well, that's the thing. They've got one of the most talented players in the league, Hudson-Odoi, who wants to leave. It's ridiculous.
They all want to leave.
Half the dudes in the championship that they have on loan right now should be in the squad playing.
Like Abraham, he's at least premiership quality.
Is Abraham going to do any worse than Morata did this season? No. Is Mason Mount going to be any worse than a Danny Drinkwater? No. And Pandu, he's still there, but they don't give him enough chances, but they're not giving Christensen shots either. So there's just it's so fucking weird. Like, it's the weirdest, most enigmatic club at the moment is Chelsea.
And you know what they need? And the weird thing, you know what they need? They need Pochettino. They need Pochettino to go in there, wipe out all those mercenaries and get all those.
They might be listening.
But that's, they have like,
that's what they need.
They went from a team that had this, and it happened in like 2 or 3 years. They went from a team that had this core that was there for like a decade. They had Terry, Lampard, Drogba, all those guys that were like icons. They had a whole club's historical Mount Rushmore all there at the same time.
Oh, they were Chelsea through and through.
And they were gone in 3 years total, all of them at the same time? And they brought in nobody because even though they had that there, they still had the mercenary thing going, but they still had that core. They had that core there. Now all they have is that mercenary core, and you have guys like Hazard that have come out and said, "I'm not a leader," and that's your star player going out and saying that. You wouldn't see Harry Kane saying that. Hell, you wouldn't see Mohamed Salah saying that. So these are the guys, and then they had Courtois. These guys that talk to the media and like downplay everything, seem not take stuff too seriously, and that's just that you can see that attitude just seep into what they do, and that's why they're always so inconsistent.
So with that, let's do predictions.
Yes.
So as usual, the score and scores. Who wants to go first?
Okay, I'll go first.
I'm going to play a little pessimistic because whenever I do, then things go good for us. So I'm going to go 2-2. I think it's another battle of the bridge type game. It's going to be toughly fought. I think there's going to be people bouncing off of Sissoko's chest left and right. I think we're going to see Lamella in there at some point stepping on people. It's going to be brutal. I think we get two early goals, one on the back of Son, one on the back of Harry, and then they catch up later in the game.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, it's going to be a repeat of the battle.
Did you say a bit optimistic or pessimistic?
I said pessimistic.
Okay.
Don't be a pessimist. Be an optometrist.
So, 2-2.
Kevin knows.
Kane.
Okay. Who wants next? Kevin?
Kevin's laughing.
Actually, you know what? You're laughing too much. Rick, we know what you got, so just get it over with.
3-0.
Oh, damn.
Son 2, Harry 1.
Okay. Nate, what do you got?
And we lose 2-1. Llorente scores. I got bad vibes, guys. Fucking bad vibes.
I'll go. I actually wrote down the same thing that I crossed off, and I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to go 1-2 as well, but I'm going to say Kane scores. Kevin, what do you got?
Fuck all the doom and gloom. I'm with Rick, 3-1. Harry, Son, and Erickson. And they just get like a late garbage time. It's nice and comfortable.
In a row at their place. Like that.
Cocks out.
Fuck yeah. At work.
Just at work.
You might be on a registry after that.
I'm going to miss the game, too. I've got a huge staff meeting that day, so.
I'm getting sick.
Boo, you whore.
I'm going to need a half day.
Okay, so let's do next the last match of the week. It's going to be on Saturday at 6:30 against the shit stains we call Arsenal. So for anybody that doesn't know, it's going to be on NBC Sports Network, of course, because we got the early game, and then BT Sport 1 at 12:30 if you live in the UK. For anybody that cares, I actually made another wager with my Gooner co-worker, a very paltry $10 bet. But
ooh, haven't you done well?
Yeah, so it's not. It's more about pride. So
never bet with Arsenal fans.
No. I did last year, and I won, and he threw the $10 bill at me. So I just laughed at his face.
So,
but
how many times do you lose? That makes it even way more worse.
Well, remember, we are playing at home. Well, Wembley. But
beat him last time.
Yeah, Anthony, what do you got for the preview?
Well, the scum currently sit fourth place in the league, so they've made it up into the Champions League talk at this point, with 53 points, 16 wins, 5 draws, and 6 losses. Their most current win was to Southampton, 2-0 this weekend. They won at Bates. They lost at Bates.
Bates. They could not be mastered either.
B-A-T-E Borisov, the Belarusian farmers.
I get it, but I think everybody else saw the gags that I was reading, too.
No, I totally didn't. I thought you were just
sorry to interrupt, Anthony.
You can't bat master Bates.
I was actually going to bring that up. Our good friend of the podcast, James, who was on earlier in the season, actually posted one like that. Or since they lost on Valentine's Day, they couldn't master Bates on Valentine's Day.
What was that joke again? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it the first 15 times people said it. Can you say it one more time, please?
They couldn't master bait on Valentine's Day.
But anyway, let me continue.
Prior
to that, there was a win at Huddersfield, a loss to Man City. Their top goal scorer is Aubameyang with 15. Lacazette's right behind him with 11. Their top assist man was Ramsey, but...
We saw Ozil.
With 6, and then Lacazette with 5, and Bellerin also has 5. Yeah, top-rated player, Aubameyang, with 7.21, and I always mispronounce his name.
Papadopoulos?
Yeah, Xhaka with 7.06 right behind him. Last 5 times we faced them have been an alternating win-loss, win-loss, win. So we've gotten most of the better of it, but we're on the... this is where we would lose next if we continue this trend.
Unless you look at it at Premier League, then we would win next.
Aha!
Yeah. Yes!
So fuck no,
and when great. I'm just going to say, when was the last time we lost at home against Arsenal in the Premier League? Not in a while.
St. Yeah. Patrick's Day. I was hungover. It was 2014. Rosicky scored within the first minute. Felt like total garbage that whole game. We had like 25 chances to score.
Touche.
Tim Sherwood threw his gilet into the seat really angrily. It was a shitty day all around. I hated that day. I was so dead from the night before.
Yeah, and for anybody who doesn't know, my German team is Dortmund, and I loved Rosicky back in the day. So,
God, you and every fucking hipster, Dortmund.
This was before... Actually, this makes me a hipster.
Yeah.
Hipster.
Hipster. Can't get out of that one.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I remember that, too, because I'm just like...
I was a Dortmund fan before anyone else.
I'm supposed to hate you, but... Oh, fuck.
I fucking hated Rosicky.
But,
okay. He was like Arsenal to a T. Really cool player that could do, well, not really cool, but a player that could do world-class shit on his day, but was so fucking soft, he'd fucking blow away in a stiff breeze. So, like, half of their players, like Abu Diaby, retired today, 32, spent more time on the injury reserve than some random player who had injury problems, so I can't think about to compare him to, but you get my point. Darren Anderson. Yeah, man. Yeah, I guess that's a good one.
Owen Hargreaves.
Aaron Ramsey, same fucking thing. Can be amazing, always hurt. Jack Wilshere, yeah. Always fucking hurt. Fuck them. Fuck everything about them. I'm fucking sick of them. I want them to fucking go away, and I hate that if things don't go well for Chelsea, they might get really close to catching us if we don't do them in this game. And I'm sick of dominating them and beating them by one goal, which one we've beaten them, or one or two. I mean, even though I think we've had the better of times with them at home, at least a lot, they still seem to be in the game at the end. Like last season, I think we could have had 4 or 5, and they still had a chance to tie it at the end if Lacazette made that goal. So I really want to fucking like roll them over in this game like they did us.
Okay, again, barring prediction, but as we all know, their defense is pretty shit.
Yes.
So I expect this to be a moderately high-scoring game. So, but I mean, Lacazette, what's it, Aubameyang, you know, they got a good amount of firepower, let's be fair.
They just rested Aubameyang, too. He came up for, like, I think 15 minutes or something this weekend.
So, I mean, defense, they got to lock this down. They got to slap the floor Duke style to get to eke out, potentially eke out this win.
I mean, eke isn't the right word I'd use.
Grind out.
Do they have a midweek game like we do?
Yeah,
Bournemouth.
Okay.
Ballmouth. Anthony,
I think we have to learn the lesson that I think we did learn when we took them on the League Cup. But they have the capability of playing a different style game and stepping up to the challenge of playing us. And granted, that was certainly
they beat us too, not just the League Cup game. Yeah. They fucking beat us the first time by blowing us out.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we learned the lesson, and we outplayed them in the League Cup. In the league, they made us look like fools. They have the capability of stepping up their game, so we can't underrate them. And obviously, we always step up for the Arsenal game, but I think we have to come in with a plan in place for how we're going to address if they play game plan A, where they're just high pressing and attacking us. What do we do about that? How do we shut that down? And then if there's a different game plan where they're being a little bit more, I don't know, cagey or I don't think they'll play truly defensive because they just don't. That goes against their skill set.
And but, the way they've been playing in general under Emery.
Yeah. But I think we have to come in with multiple game plans and be ready to execute them. Poch has to be the man in this game and really have his plan in place.
Rick, you've been awfully quiet recently.
Well, you know I hate these games.
I know. But as a lifelong Arsenal hater, I know you got a lot to say.
I hate these games. I just want to win so bad. You know, we could lose every other game, and I just want to win this one. This is the one.
Just
I want.
6 points in the league, and
that'd be
hilarious. Actually, get relegated. If we lost every game, but I mean, we'd never let them live it down. Yeah. Ever. That'd be worse for them than it was for us if that happened. Exactly. Like, just think about that. We were the worst team in Premier League history, but we did the double over Arsenal.
Yeah,
hilarious.
That would make me so happy.
Yeah.
I just hate.
We'd make a DVD.
I hate playing them. I hate watching these games. I just want to win so badly. They're beat up in defence. Our defence has not been that great when it should be. We got Harry back.
Might have Dele by then.
We might have Dele back. Who knows?
That'd be great.
Well, that's the one thing. We are getting fitter and fitter where other teams are losing players.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We actually seem to be getting more of our squad back than losing them, whereas other teams are losing them.
Yeah, that fucking United Liverpool game, everybody on the pitch got hurt.
So listen, Fernandinho and somebody else. Who else went out for City? Fernandinho is out for weeks.
Yeah,
Pep said.
So, you know, so other teams are losing players, whereas we're getting them back. You know, and we actually survived. We survived. You know, a period of time where we had players out. So now is the time to actually, get these players back and start playing really well. And if we do that, we can have success in this game. We're pretty good against Arsenal at home. It's just, you know, the fear factor of losing to them, which I hate.
Yes. It affects us all.
It really does. It just makes it. I'm actually grateful that I'm going to be working and I won't see you again.
Oh, shit.
So,
like, half you fuckers aren't even going to be here. Jesus.
So,
unbelievable. No wonder we can't get anybody for early games.
Can Rick watch your kid at work so you can come to the bar then?
Take Olivia to the airport with you?
Rick,
okay.
The game's at 6:30 in the morning. You will not be at work yet, so you can come to the bar.
No, but I get home at about midnight. So
I have literally been out drinking until 5 a.m. and come straight here. And
you were also like
multiple games.
29 when that happened.
But then I have to get out for work.
So. Yeah, comparable to being as old as Rick is.
Yeah, but then I have to get out for work. You know, I'm gonna get home. I'm probably going to get to bed or sleep about 1:30. I'm going to have to get up. I have to get up.
You might lose some sleep.
Go to work.
So, you know what? It's probably healthier for you at your age.
Yeah, because because for anybody that doesn't know, Rick is one of the more vocal people at the bar, aside from Lucas.
Miss you.
Because he always
he's silent during.
Because he's
that's the thing. You won't miss me at an Arsenal game because I never say anything at an Arsenal game.
Because usually Rick is always like telling the commentators to shut up or, you know, to fuck off, yellow card, or he'll give me a dirty look for talking to Victoria about random shit. You know.
Well, this was a really funny thing. I was actually watching the Tottenham Burnley game, and I was watching it on a feed. From England, and they had Carragher and someone else in the studio. While our game was going on, they spoke about Man City and Liverpool for 20 minutes. While our game was going on, when they were supposed to be commentating on our game.
That's normal. It's like the wrestling commentary you see now in WWE.
And then people say to me, well, why do you shout out commentators? Well, that's why, because they're not commentating on the game. I hate Arsenal games. I hope we beat them 25-0.
Who's going to score those 25 goals then?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Harry scores all of them.
12 own goals.
Which one?
How I talked about with Chelsea, matchups. Are we going to do man marking? Who's going to mark Aubameyang?
We're not going to do man marking.
You don't think so? Zonal?
No. I don't know. I don't know enough about tactics to do this.
Me either. I that's why I brought it up.
He's asking us.
No, you don't.
Passion. Tactics are bullshit. Expected goals go
rotten out.
Leave that shit in baseball with all those fucking statistics and what have you. It's all about grinding and feelings and just fucking ruthlessness.
Okay, Paul Carlson too.
We need ruthlessness, and I think that's what we're gonna get out of this game. I think people are gonna be pissed off. I think they're gonna be pissed off from the last Premier League game. When there was a big fight and then they beat us. And I think just we're going to be in a mood to fucking just run them. And I think we're going to. I think this is where, as I say, we fucking destroy them.
I want to see Sanchez in this game as a defensive option. I think you need him. There's a lot of speed between Aubameyang and Lacazette. The ability to get behind the line where I think you need him to be able to catch up, especially if we're high pressing, which I'm sure we're going to do when we're on the attack, because their defense is obviously their weakness and we need to take down that defense. So I want to see a solid defensive partnership. I don't know if it has to be three at the back. I'm comfortable with two at the back if it's the right two.
I think it depends on the wing or
and who the wing backs are.
If it's Trippier, you better not venture too far up. Even though his quote-unquote alleged speed, he can make up for that.
It's going to be big not having them have either Bellerin or Holding.
Yeah.
That's certainly going to help. I think like when you have when you have them missing some important pieces, that certainly is something that's going to benefit us with our pieces coming back.
And we saw we could get behind and deal with Maitland-Niles when we played them the last time. And we'll be at home, I think. Yeah, I mean, I'm not – this is one of the weirder situations because this is the least hyped up I've been for a North London derby in a long time just because everything that's going around. We're still kind of on the outside of a title race. We had that wonderful first leg against Dortmund, and we've got that game 3 days later. We have Chelsea coming up, and Chelsea's in their whole situation, so that's on my mind first and foremost. Then 3 days later, we got to deal with fucking Arsenal. So, like, with all those things in mind, it's fucking nuts. It's a fucking hell of a goddamn schedule, and it's hard to kind of – God, there's so many games to get really up for after another, right?
Well, you just got to take them one at a time.
Yeah, exactly. This is like in a make or breaker season, this one fucking week. I hate it.
The two things I want to discuss about this is this reminds me of the tail end of the 2008-09 season where we had two London derbies against Chelsea and then Arsenal within quick succession.
And we won both 2-1, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yep. So, like,
that was 2009, 2010.
Yep. So this is more or less very similar, but also Arsenal's quietly got their way up into fourth place.
Only because of the crappiness of the teams around them.
Yeah, and they played Southampton yesterday, so that definitely helped.
I mean, they keep running into each other, and like Chelsea had to play City, so Arsenal gained on them. Arsenal played City and lost, so Chelsea gained on them then. United's been steadily increasing for a while, and they've made the – I mean, because of how crappy both of those teams have played, they've let United back in it, and they were ahead of them actually for a little bit. They beat what? I mean, Arsenal beat Huddersfield and Southampton to get back here. And this team's everybody should beat, especially because both were at home. Or no, one was at Huddersfield, but it's fucking Huddersfield. So this is going to be their first challenging game since they lost to, West Ham? And even that time, they lost to fucking Belarusia. So, are they really much better? No, I don't think so. They've just played shit and had a good time in their schedule doing it. So, no, I think they're going to have problems with us.
Well, we have this run that we're facing, and you're right, it is a make or break for the season, potentially. But then we also have this ridiculous long gap in games that is coming up down the road, which I think it has the potential, if we handle this run very poorly, we're going to go into a long gap, really feeling down, and that's what could break the season. Like you have a long gap after, like, let's say we get a draw to Chelsea and lose to Scum or something, and then do something stupid to Southampton after, Champions League will probably be fine. But then we got to go into this long gap where we're just waiting.
That's
for
still like
a match and
2 or 3 weeks away.
Yeah, though. but that's coming like after this stretch and like it. If we handle this and we come out on top and we play like champions, I think the morale of the fan base is going to go through the roof.
No, we were that before this break, and then we came out of the break and lost. So,
yeah, because actually, two things I would say: if we run the table, knock on wood, you know, we got the little bit of a break, we're going to be fresh. The only thing that I fear is Pochettino did say in the news. We'll get to you in a minute, Nate. Is that Pochettino said he wants to take the team out, you know, somewhere warm.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully it's not Barcelona.
They'll come back and be crap.
But, Nate, you had quick...
I was going to say, we just had a big break and came out and lost to Burnley. So how much does it really mean? I remember Pep Guardiola saying something he kind of likes playing 3 days because then you're always at it. You're always up for it.
Or keeps your mind active.
Well, right, exactly. He likes playing every 3 days because he's got two fucking full squads.
Well,
rotate.
The same time, I mean, we played with bare bones and somehow managed to deal with it. True.
But
I don't know. I think it's just as big of a chance of hurting our season as helping it, to be honest. I don't know if even mindset players. Actually, if we lose these games, maybe it's nice to take a break and come back fresh. If we win these games, maybe it's bad that we're not keeping that momentum going. So there's just 1,000 ways you can look at it. We really have no clue.
Yeah.
We just got to think we need to take care of business this week. I mean, this week could be one of the greatest weeks in a lot of our histories of supporting Tottenham. So we can think about it that way. It's just a lot of potential. And as being Spurs fans, we don't usually rise to that when we need to. So that's why, at least I am pessimistic.
Well, I think we've got to start winning games now because the dreaded international break is coming up. And we know half our team's going to get injured when that happens. So.
Yeah, because right now we got, as of today, 11 games left? So, yeah. Okay, so let's wrap things up. Predictions. Score and scorers, if you got them. Who wants to go first? Kevin?
2-0. Spurs. Harry gets both. 2 first half goals.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Actually, that would be kind of nice just because...
I don't know. I think that would be nerve-wracking as fuck. The whole second half, I think.
Well, we do...
It depends how the game goes. Even are we at them or are they at Arthur's? Yeah. You know?
Even though the defense has been a little scary at times, we still have a very capable defense where we could lock it down for 45 minutes if necessary, so... Anthony, how about you?
I'm going to go 3-1. I think we definitely come after them, and I think this is a team that we can beat if we're at our best, and I think we'll be back at our best by that game. So, 3-1, I'm going to give a goal to Harry. I am going to give
a goal to Sun, and I'm going to give a goal to Sissoko. I'm going to go a little bit random. Like, he'll actually take a shot, and it will go in.
It's 2-1, and he seals the deal in, like, the 85th to go up 3-1.
And then and then it goes through the net, and you see the smoke.
And then he drops and gives, like, 50 push-ups.
Nathan dies instantly.
Because every time he shoots, he has to take 50 push-ups for the coach.
Nate, what do you got?
4-1. Harry Kane 2, Son 1, Harry Winks 1, and Harry Winks explodes out of just pure joy and adrenaline. It's completely red and just spontaneously combusts. I think we'll lose to Chelsea, I think we'll come into this game angry and just fucking roll them over.
Cool.
We need to fucking lay into them. They've had it too many times against us, even though we've had the better of them for the last decade.
And so our AFTV can melt down again. Mm. But yeah.
And basically like end their season.
Rick,
fucking nothing.
10-0. The only person that doesn't score is Lloris. So the whole back four, the whole midfield, and the
everybody
two strikers.
I need names. You can't just
no. Please
throw
no.
out the
all of them. okay.
He gets the starting lineup. Whatever. Who cares? Okay. We don't need him to list out 11 guys.
Yeah, the whole starting lineup scores apart from Lloris.
Okay. I got to do it for scoring. So I'll say all outfield
he
players
doesn't get
score one goal.
Rick doesn't get points for making this type of prediction.
Okay, we have a dissenter.
No, I agree. Okay. I just want us to win 10-0.
Are you going to abstain from actual scores names then?
I told you the whole outfield, whoever it's going to be.
Just talk about it after. This is not good listening.
Okay.
We're arguing about
a random spreadsheet that I maintain. Yeah. Anyways, okay, so I predict a 2-1 win. I got Big Daddy Kane and Son. So fun times. Okay. So that's going to wrap things up. As usual, we got two big games coming up this week. Take time off, fake a sickness, or is what I do. I say I have to take my uncle to the doctor's office. Done that a few times. So,
what's he got?
I don't know, the itis.
The itis.
The itis. Who knows?
Asianitis.
That's racist.
Yeah, we should edit that.
But, yeah, so come here, come to the Atlantic, get your drinks. We're always welcoming people. We're going to have
Marcus Alonso killed a woman.
Don't
Sorry.
Forget.
Sorry.
And he
no
did get his car,
it.
And he got his car towed a few.
Yeah,
like
and he
for
fucked up
ago.
His Porsche, too. Never forget. That man still has a driver's license.
How many more points do you need to get that revoked?
He's a danger to everybody around him.
Okay, so, of course.
Including the back line of Chelsea. Okay, I'm finished.
I'm walking away from that one. Okay, so of course, Rick, thank you for editing and uploading our recording. Anthony, thank you again for scheduling production. Charlie for the music. Kevin for social media. Myself for the back page update. Victoria for the logo. And always, as usual, the Atlantic Bar and Grill for use of recording backspace in the back of the bar. Hit the subscribe button and write us a review on iTunes or like our pod wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at 4StarSpurs. And, of course, our website for bios and recordings at 4StarSpurs.com. Come on, you Spurs.